Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Shalom, good morning everybody. This is Paul with our daily Bible reading. We are up to Acts chapter 7. As we continue to read the scriptures live every day, what a great way to start the day, right? Hallelujah. So we're going to open up in prayer here, found in Deuteronomy 6:4-9. This is the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, Baruch Shem Kivo, Mahuto Leolam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words that I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire and when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house, the book of Acts. And we start off here. We continue with Stephen addressing the council. It says, then the high priest asked Stephen, are these accusations true? And it says in a one numeral Bible, and the high priest said, are these things so? So the note here says, a word service refers to the food, clothing, and other necessities provided by the congregation. So let's see. Oh, well, that was for chapter 6. Now this is the note for chapter 7. So remember in chapter 6, they accused Stephen of all these different things. And here he is on trial now. And verse 2 reads, this was Stephen's reply. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious Elohim appeared to our ancestors Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. And it says here in the note in the one in the Bible, referring only to males does not mean that only males were present. This was no need, as we have in the last few years, to be politically correct. So each statement, such as brothers and brothers, included sisters without having to say that. Men outnumbered women because men were commanded to attend services while women could be excused for care of children. So we're at a very pivotal time here. This is the first martyr, somebody who died for Yeshua, that was recorded. This is a powerful chapter. It says here, in the notes, the high priest was probably Calpius, the same man who had earlier questioned and condemned Yeshua. And the note here says, Stephen launched into a long speech about Israel's relationship with Yahweh. From the original covenant history, he showed that the Jewish people had consistently rejected Yahweh's message and his prophets, and that this council rejected the Messiah, Yahweh's son. He made three main points. Number one, Israel's history and the history of Yahweh's acts in the world. Number two, people worshiped Yahweh long before there was a temple, because Yahweh does not live in a temple. And number three, Yeshua's death was just one more example of Israel's rebellion against and rejection of Yahweh. And it says Stephen didn't really defend himself. Instead, he took the offense, seizing the opportunity to summarize his teachings about Yeshua. Stephen was accused of accusing these religious leaders of failing to obey Yahweh's laws. The laws are provided themselves in the following so meticulously. This was the same accusation that Yeshua had leveled against them. When we witness Yeshua, we don't need to be on the defense. Instead, we simply share our faith. And it says here in the One Newman Bible for verse 2, referring only to male. Oh, we read that. Males does not mean that females were not present. And then in verse number 3, the note says, Yahweh told him, leave your native land and your relatives and come into the land which I show you. So that was the note for verse 3. And it says here in the One New Man Bible, note that Yahweh said to come, not to go, because Yahweh was along with Abraham where he goes with each, and he's along with each of us as well. So he's with all of us. So we have a lot to cover here today. So, and it says, so Abraham left the land of the children and lived in Haran until his father died. Then Yahweh brought him here to the land where you now live. Now remember, he's giving this speech. This he knew. This was his death speech, meaning this is the last request, the last thing he could say. They're already, they killed Yeshua and already to sentence him. And he knew that. And he's spreading the history and the word. And verse 5, but Yahweh gave him no inheritance here, not even one square foot of land. Yahweh did promise, however, that eventually the whole land would belong to Abraham and his descendants, even though he had no children yet. Yahweh also told him that his descendants would live in a foreign land where they would be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, Yahweh said, and in the end, they will come out and worship me here in this place. Verse 8. Yahweh also gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision at the time. So when Abraham became the father of Isaac, he circumcised him on the eighth day. And the practice was continued when Isaac became the father of Jacob, and when Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs of the Israelite nation. And verse 8 says, circumcision was a sign of the promised covenant Yahweh made with Abraham and the entire nation of Israel. Because Stephen summarized Israel's history, he told how this covenant feared during that time. Stephen pointed out that Yahweh always kept his side of the promise, but Israel failed again and again to uphold its end. Although the Jewish people in Stephen's day still circumcised their baby boys, they failed to obey Yahweh. The people's hearts were far from Yahweh. The lack of faith and lack of obedience showed that they had failed to keep their part of the covenant. Another note for verse 8 says the Jewish rite of circumcision, like Israel's regular sacrifice and annual feast, was intended to be a very meaningful event. As with all religious rituals, circumcision was designed to serve as an outer symbol of an inner reality. Those who participated thoughtfully would be reminded of the profound spiritual truths. But we know from our own experiences of repeating the church's creeds, saying the Lord's Prayer, or celebrating ordinances like the baptism of Yahweh's Supper, that it is difficult to avoid merely going through the motions. We are often guilty of participating passively and mindlessly in religious exercises. Make it your goal to give to Yahweh your full attention, body, soul, and spirit. The next time you pray, take communion or take a church or take part in the church ceremony. Now, that is the note from the Standard Christian New Living Testament. And they're going to have, you know, the religious ideas here of taking communion or making sure you're part of a church. That's all fine if you want to do that, but you don't need to do that. But you need to be in the Word. You need to be in prayer, and fellowship will certainly help bless your walk. So keep these things in mind, and let's not get distracted by the note of what events taken here, one of the most amazing events of all of Scripture for all the thousands and thousands of people that have been martyred for Yeshua over the years. This was the first recorded one. And this is what he's saying. He's telling the people all these different things. It says in verse 9, these patriarchs were jealous of their brother Joseph, and they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. But Yahweh was with him and rescued him from his troubles And Yahweh gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yahweh also gave to Joseph universal wisdom. So the Pharaoh appointed him governor over all Egypt. Well, unusual wisdom. So that the Pharaoh appointed him all over Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. But famine came upon Egypt and Canaan. There was a great mystery and a great misery, and our ancestors ran out of food. Jacob heard that there was still grain in Egypt, so he sent his sons, our ancestors, to buy some. The second time they went, Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, and they were introduced to Pharaoh. Then Joseph said to his father Jacob and all his relatives, come to Egypt, 75 persons in all. So Jacob went to Egypt. He died there, as did our ancestors. Their bodies were taken to Shechem and buried in the tomb of Abraham had brought for certain price from Hamor's sons in Shechem. And now verse 17, at that time drew near, as the time drew near when Yahweh would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. The note here says, Stephen's review of the Jewish history gives a clear testimony of Yahweh's faithfulness and sovereignty. Despite the continued failures of his chosen people and the swirling world events, Yahweh was working out his plan. When faced by confusing array of circumstances, remember, number one, that Yahweh is in control and nothing surprises him. Number two, this world is not all there is. It will pass away, but Yahweh is eternal. And number three, Yahweh is just, as he will make things right, punish the wicked and rewarding the faithful. Number four, Yahweh wants you, like Joseph, Moses, and Stephan, to make a difference in the world. So these are the notes here for 17. And then we read verse 18 now. Verse 18 says, but then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so they would die. At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in Yahweh's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months when they had to abandon him. Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own. Moses was taught the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. One day when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw the Egyptians mistreating an Israelite, so Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that Yahweh sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. But verse 26, the next day he visited them again and saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. Men, he said, you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other? But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. Who made you ruler and judge over us? He asked. Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There his two sons were born. 40 years later in the desert near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. He went and took a closer look, and the voice of Yahweh called out to him. I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses shook with terror and did not dare to look. Then, verse 33, then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, you are standing on holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I have heard of their groans, and they have come down to rescue them. Now go, for I am sending you back to Egypt. And the note here in the One Numa Bible says, here too, as in verse 3, Yahweh is coming with Moses in his assignment. Verse 35 says, so Yahweh sent back the same man his people had previously rejected when they demanded, who made you ruler and judge over us? Though the angel appeared to him at the burning bush, Yahweh sent Yahweh sent Moses to be their ruler and savior. And this means of and by means of many wonders and miracles, signs, he led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years. And verse 37 says, Moses himself told the people of Israel, Yahweh will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. And a note here says the Jewish people originally thought the prophet was Joshua, but Moses was prophesying about the coming Messiah that's found in Deuteronomy 18:15. Peter also quoted this verse in referring to the Messiah in 3:22. So that was the note for 37. Verse 38 reads, Moses was with our ancestors, he is in the assembly of Yahweh's people in the wilderness, when an angel spoke to him in Mount Sinai, and Moses received life-giving words to pass on. So as Stephen's talking about this in the history, the note here says, Stephen used the word ecclesias, translated assembly, to describe the congregation of people of Yahweh in the wilderness. This word means called out ones, and is also used by the first century Christians to describe their own community or assembly. Stephen's point was that the giving of the law through Moses to the Jewish people was a sign of the covenant. By obedience, they would continue to be Yahweh's covenantal people. But because they disobeyed, they broke the covenant and fortified their right to be chosen people. From Galatians 3:19 to Hebrews 2:2, it appears that Yahweh has given the law to Moses through the angels. Exodus 31:18 says Yahweh wrote the Ten Commandments himself, written with the finger of Yahweh. Apparently, Yahweh used angelic messages as meditators to deliver his law to Moses. Apparently, Yahweh used angelic messages to deliver his law to Moses. So that was the note for 38. For 39, it says, but our ancestors refused to listen. They rejected him and wanted him to return to Egypt. They told Aaron, make us some gods who can lead us, for we know now what has become of this Moses, who brought us out of Egypt. So they made an idol shaped like a calf, and they sacrificed to it and celebrated over this thing that they had. Then Yahweh turned away from them and then abandoned them and served the stars of the heavens of their gods. In the book of the prophets, it is written. The note for verse 42 says, stars long the focus of false religions. The focus of first religions, as it says in the One New Man Bible. Now we go, continuing with 42. Let's see here. It says, was it to me you were bringing sacrifice and offerings during those 40 years in the wilderness of Israel? Verse 43 says, no, you carried your pagan gods, the shrine of Moloch, the star of your God Rehapan, and the images you made to worship them. So I send you into exile as far as Babylon. And the note here says, here Stephen gives more detail of the idolatry referred to in 740. These were idols worshipped by Israel during their wonders and wanderings. Moloch was the god associated with child sacrifice, and Rapagati was the Egyptian god. Amos, whose name's Ansi, and is deities worshipped by Israel. That's for 743. And 744 says, our ancestors carried the tabernacle with them through the wilderness. It was constructed according to the plan Yahweh had shown Moses. 45. Years later, when Joshua led our ancestors in battle against the nations, Yahweh drove out of this land. The tabernacle was taken with them into the new territory, and it stayed there until the time of King David. 46. David found favor with Yahweh and asked for the privilege of building a permanent temple for Yahweh, for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who actually built it. However, the Most High does live in temples made of human hands. However, the Most High doesn't live in temples made out of human hands, as the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that?" asked Yahweh. "Could you build me such a resting place?" And the note here says, from 44 to 50, Stephen had been accused of speaking against the temple. Although he recognized the importance of the temple, he knew that it was not more important than Yahweh. Yahweh is not limiting his lives, not only, it says, he lives his lives not only in the house of worship, but also for those who are opening to receive him. Solomon knew. He prayed at the dedication of the temple. Yahweh wants us to live in. Yahweh wants to live in us. He is your living in you. He is living in you. So he wants us to live in us. He is living in you. Verse 50 says, "Don't my hands make both heaven and earth?" And a note for 49 in the One New Man Bible for 49 here, it says, "Heaven is my throne." It says, this is Yahweh's eternal rest. Yahweh's eternal rest that he talks about. And then we go down to 51. "You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet of your ancestors that didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered." Verse 53 here. "You deliberately disobeyed Yahweh's law, even though you received it from the hands of the angels." Wow. And the note here, let's go here, 53, 54. "The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations, and they shook their fist at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of Yahweh, and he saw Yeshua standing in the place of honor at Yahweh's right hand. And he told them, 'Look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing in the place of my honor at Yahweh's right hand.'" The note here says, "Indeed, many prophets were persecuted and killed. Uriah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Manasseh, Amos, Zechariah." And it says here for Zechariah, "Not the author of the Bible book, but the son of Jedida, the priest, as seen in 2 Chronicles 24, 20-22. Elijah. Yeshua also told the parable about how Yeshua consistently rejected Yahweh's, about how the Jewish people had consistently rejected Yahweh's message and persecuted his messengers. And then the note, that was for verse 52. "Name one prophet of your ancestors they didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the right one, the Messiah whom you betrayed." And then 53, "You deliberately disobeyed Yahweh's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels." 54, "The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations and shook their fist at him." They shook their fist at him. And then it says here in 55, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, steadily glazed into heaven the glory, and he saw Yeshua standing in the place of honor at Yahweh's right hand." 56, "He told them, 'Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing there.'" And this is significant. 57 says, "Then he put their hands over their ears and they began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out to the city and began to stone him. His accusations took their cost and laid them at the feet." Wait. Come on. Come on, Paul. Because anyway, it says his accusers. This is 58. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of the young man named Saul. That was the Apostle Paul. That's amazing. He didn't do the stoning, but he was right there watching as he held their coats. So that was for 59. It says here, Stephen saw the glory of Yahweh and Yeshua, the Messiah standing at Yahweh's right hand. Stephen's words are simple to Yeshua, words spoken before the high council. Stephen's vision supported Yeshua's claim and angered the Jewish leaders who had condemned Yeshua to death for blasphemy. They would not tolerate Stephen's words, so they dragged him out and killed him. People may not kill us for witnessing about Yeshua, but they may let us know they don't want to hear the truth and try to silence us. Keep honoring Yahweh in your conduct and words, through many may turn against you and your message. Some will follow Yeshua. Remember, Stephen's death had a profound impact on Paul, who later became the world's greatest missionary. Even those who oppose you now may later turn to Yeshua. Hallelujah. And 58, so when they dragged him out, it says here, Saul also called Paul the great missionary who wrote many of the letters. Saul is also called Paul, the great missionary who wrote many letters in the New Testament. Saul was a Hebrew name and Paul the Greek name. It was used as he began to minister to the Gentiles. When Luke introduces him, Paul was going everywhere persecuting Yeshua's followers. This is in great contrast to Paul, to the Paul about whom Luke wrote for the most of the book of Acts, describing him as a devoted follower of Yeshua and gifted preacher. Paul was uniquely qualified to talk to the Jewish people about Yeshua because he had once persecuted those who believed in him and understood how the opposition felt. Paul is a powerful example of a person who was thought impossible for Yahweh to reach the chain, to reach and change. But he did, and that should give us all hope, all hope. And then verse 59, it says, As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord, Yeshua, receive my spirit. And the note here in 59 says, the primary meaning of this word is to take by the hand.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
Torah Life Ministry.
You are holy, you are faithful. You are Savior, you are friend. You are all I'll ever need, Lord, you are. You are every question's answer. You are every reason why. You are moving, you are still, Lord, you are. And you are the Lord on high. And you are the way, the truth, the life. And you are. Morning star.